Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was hell or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right. No more getting drunk for Matt.
Doesn't mean I can't get high as fuck.
You could just come here and have fun with your friends.
I'm just going to get high, and maybe I'll come here on mushrooms one time.
There we go.
That'll be fun.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 222. This is Jorge.
This is the great white dope, Matt Smith.
Wow, it's a different name this week.
It's different. It's not the, what was last week?
The Star Lord.
Oh, no, the Star Champion.
The Star Champion.
Yeah, Star In Lord, all actuality, I'm Matt Mouth on the South Smith.
Mouth on the South.
This is Rhett.
Eating that ass.
Yeah, like they was groceries. Dudes, Comic-Con is fucking over. Oh, thank God.
Thank fucking...
Get out of my city, dorks.
Thank God, because... So Josh Graham hit me up because I had bought some things for him. One of our homies.
I was gonna say, does he need a pin? You can give him this fucking monster.
You don't want that thing? Oh, man, he would love that thing because he's a fan of this guy. You don't want it?
You know what, Josh? I'm gonna give this to you. There you go.
All right.
George spent a fuckload.
Unless you want this. Do you want this?
What?
Tell me what it is. Colonial.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah.
He knows what it
is. Yeah. Do you want it?
Why don't you want this?
I want it. No, mine's up on the board.
He has one.
Okay. Okay.
Would you like it?
Yeah, sure. I would love
then
it.
Then you can have it. Sorry, Josh.
Sorry, Josh.
host takes precedence.
Whoever you are, homie,
homie,
I'm dog.
Not, I'm not good.
Act
at
like
that.
You're from Chula Vista, dog. Fucking homie.
Anywho,
wow.
Thanks.
He was like, hey, are you guys done with Comic-Con? But don't you guys say that every year? And I go, yeah. Pretty much, man.
I mean, if I'm going to get a free pass, I'm going to go and try and make some Patreon or some Who Goes There content, at least.
Did you end up getting shrooms for that one homegirl?
Yeah, she never hit me up, so now I'm going to do them. Sucks for you.
She never hit you up? Damn.
I don't care.
That's fucked up.
I got mushrooms, though.
All right, that's cool.
mushrooms aren't going to go bad in my
house. There, you were there for a good bit.
I was there for about 8 hours.
Did you see anything?
Dude, it's the same shit every year.
It's the same shit.
I mean, like... It's full of toys where you're like, oh, that's really cool, but you can't fucking buy it because they're not out yet. Yeah, they won't be out for another
TBD.
Year. The one thing that I saw that I was really into was a company called like Gecko Inc., G-E-C-C-O, from Japan is making Dead by Daylight toys, and they look fucking amazing. They're like those 1/6 scale replicas.
Matt, you're not drinking.
Yeah.
Your beer money can go to...
I'm trying to be more frugal, too.
Sweet toys.
I need a lot of shit, but that's not going to come out until the end of this year, early next year. Yeah, other than that, dude, it's all...
We got to meet Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah, that's
cool. That was
cool.
Pretty cool.
Lloyd's always there. He's a really fun guy. Somebody described him as a fucking mensch. Like, he's done so much for the horror community and indie film as a whole.
Yeah. Even if you don't like his films, I mean, the guy is a... He is a horror fucking cheerleader.
He's a pioneer.
Till death.
Yeah, and if you don't like his films, fuck off. I don't like you.
I don't like a lot of his films, but Father's Day, God,
you know,
damn.
All of the trauma films that we've reviewed on this show, you've liked.
It's true.
You liked Bloodsucking Freaks. You liked The Slashing. You liked...
That is true. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. You like trauma movies,
would you look
movies,
at
dude.
That? Would you look at that?
You like trauma movies. No, other than that... Comic-Con was the same old shit. Me and Brian met a really cool dude who is interested in a project we're doing, and there's some very awesome progression on that, so we're very excited for that. But other than that, nothing for Comic-Con.
I was going to try getting the Mondo booth line, and nope, no thanks.
Yeah, dude, well, I tried to get something for the homie Def, but like... I guess now Mondo does this thing where you have to get a ticket.
It's like a fucking fast pass from Disneyland.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But like once they're gone for the morning and they're gone by like the first hour, like you're fucked. It's like, we'll try and come back tomorrow. And
it's a weird system they have. And, for them, it's sustainable because they make
fuckload
of money during the weekend. But
well, and then having Comic-Con exclusive, those things are just going to resale for so much on the internet immediately.
But for like actual collectors, people that want to display the shit in their house, it's difficult because it gets snapped up by resellers so quickly. They got to come up with something different.
But the best part of the last week is George got fisted. George was involved in fisting.
What? What do you mean?
George came out and worked a fist combat event with me.
Okay, I figured that's what you meant, but yeah, you never know.
It's fun.
What'd you do?
Look, here, let me go first on record in saying that fist combat is the most organized and put together and just straight up, like, you know, straight shooters all the way.
There's not an ounce of sarcasm in there.
The fuck?
It was a mess, dude. I mean, I love Mikey, but man, oh man, that I did basically the intro music and the outro music for all the fighters. Fighters? Is that the
combatants?
And it was a bit of a shit show, man.
Yeah.
How so? Come on, man. Like I can imagine. But you mean like it just didn't? Things were not synchronized.
There was no DJ. We got. Like Mikey asked me, since you're going to be hanging out at the announcing booth all night, whoever the DJ is should be a friend of yours. So I, you know, George does sound. So I was like, hey, come on out.
Oh my God. How mortifying. Were you mortified?
But that's the thing, is everything was supposed to be
mortified,
like,
dude.
Set up. Like I was going to take care of the playlist, but then I was told
you're a fucking
that
professional DJ. What do you think? Why'd you care of?
No, well, I did a fantastic job. Oh, you did? Much.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He was like, I was under the impression that everything was going to be ready for him. Like, nothing was in order. He had to download half the fucking songs off YouTube.
Yeah, dude.
Like,
I had to.
And plus, we started super early, and it was a huge show, and there was a battle royal that had 20 combatants.
The worst. Oh, the worst. I would leave. I would bitch like a little girl and
dude,
walk out.
I almost did. I almost did. I was so pissed off.
He was so mad.
There was three times that I had to go back to the locker room. And I had to find the wrestler and say, hey, what's your intro song? Okay, where do I find it? Okay, YouTube? Great. It was...
He knocked it out of the park, though. I treated him like I treat my wife. I was trying to, like
soothe him.
Yeah, like, hey, do you want a beer? You want some chicken tendies?
Yeah.
I'll run over. I'll get you some chicken tendies real quick. Are you sure you're good? And he's like, you know, chicken tendies sound good. So I go and order those, and I come back with a beer anyways. Like, even though he said he didn't want one, I'm like, here.
Well, the thing
let me give you happy juice.
I appreciated the beer, but the thing was, is I didn't want to drink from the beginning because I knew if I was bit sauced, I would have been like, and then fuck the whole thing up.
Right. So you need to be fucking sharp
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool though.
It worked out all right.
You pulled it off.
Yeah, he did a great job.
A great guy.
Very happy to have you there. It was nice to be able to tell George what to do for a change.
Yeah.
See?
Hey, do this, do that. No, this song and then this one.
And then he would cut, dude, I would play a song and he would look at me and goes, dude, that's not the song, dude. And I was like,
hey,
ah.
There was like three wrestlers who were using a new song for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, dog, that's not it. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then like there was one, Anton Carrillo, like when... Like, he was about to come out. I went around to the side. I'm like, yo, dude, sorry. That's the song Mikey had listed for you. He's like, no, that's the right one. I'm like,
no, even okay. even better, like, moments before the show starts, I had wrestlers come up to me and like, hey, I want to change my song. I'm in the Battle Royale. I'm fifth in line.
Yeah.
I want to change my song real quick.
I'm
and
actually
like,
in it twice.
Holy shit. Anywho, yeah. It was a fun event.
It was good.
I had a good
stuff.
Time. Yeah. And it was like Comic-Con preview night, so it was a little bit wacky.
Sure. There's a lot of energy going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blanca and fucking Guile fought each other. That was crazy.
Yeah. See, I was over at Target in Mission Valley a couple days ago.
Oh, I thought he meant
yeah,
that
I was
night.
Like, how is this relevant?
Oh, well, it's no, but I forgot it was Comic-Con. And I saw this, like, I'm not trying to be, but this morbidly obese couple dressed as Harley Quinn and the Joker.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I forgot it was Comic-Con. and the costumes weren't good. And so I was, like, having a hard time figuring out what was going on.
And you're like, if you guys are filming a porno, I want to be there.
Yeah. No, I was like, what the fuck? Oh, okay.
It's well, Comic-Con.
The fucking like, nerds have descended.
Yeah. Like, how'd you make it all the way fucking over here? Like something, you took a fucking wrong turn somewhere, you know?
But I'm about to midsummer your asses.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I watched The Lion King.
Not good.
Not good.
I assume it was not good.
Let me talk to you about that. I know it's obviously not a horror film. It is. I mean, we knew. Maybe you knew it wasn't going to be good. Sure, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But it's interestingly not good because. Nah, dude. Because okay,
it's defyingly bad.
Scene for scene, like of the cartoon, shot for shot, most of the time. which is already like, why are you like this? Like, why are you?
Why can't you just be normal?
like just Lion King screaming in the back of the car.
It's so iconic, right? So they're like, oh, you can't change anything. Don't change things. Don't change things. Here's the thing. Jon Favreau, like, he did The Jungle Book, which I enjoyed, like, quite a bit, personally.
I believe it's pronounced Favreau.
Favreau. Jesus Christ.
Favre.
Can we edit that? Okay, so he went with this super photorealistic look of the lions, which is commendable, and they look real. The thing is, even with the faces, lions don't have eyebrows like they did in the cartoon. They don't have that range of expression.
They don't have an expression to,
yeah. They have a rictus jaw, so when they're singing, like, I just can't wait to be king, it's this expression.
So they do sing.
Expression, yeah. It's got all the songs with this blank, expressionless face singing them.
Do you get to watch the lions fuck?
No. And the come hither look is not done well. That's not enough.
No.
And then,
they should have just cut to a scene where you just see, like, him mounting her, just balls slap.
No, that's,
like,
that's not how they work.
It's face to face, right?
Well, not only that, but they just connect, and then they stay connected until it's done.
They get stuck together.
Yeah, they get stuck together. Yeah.
That's Pornhub for George right there. But fuck it.
If we're talking about Nala.
His go-to video.
Oh, that's right, Nala. He's like, no, dog, she, like, looked at him, and, like, she said, come fuck me with her eyes.
Come hither look, as he called it. But, the scene where Mufasa dies, right?
Mufasa.
Where he falls into the stampede.
Yeah.
You've got this super photorealistic lion falling through the sky going, no! Dude, I lost it. Like, it's supposed to be the most fucking heart-wrenching part of the thing.
But it's not.
Oh, my God. It's funny.
See, my question
is... watch this with the children of the person that you are currently the carbon-based life form?
And Fran and I are trying to work things out. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
Wait, so
you didn't have to say her name.
My question is, who is this movie geared towards? Because when it was when it was animated, it was clearly geared towards children, you know, and, like, that's what made some of the stuff like Mufasa's death acceptable was that it was animated, but it was still sad for these kids. But being live action, like,
it's speaking of it's both not because for kids? It's Lion King, right?
Yeah. Well, of course,
but I mean, without the name and the recognition. I mean, there's going to be plenty of the majority of audiences will act like they like this film, and they may like it in general just because it hits. It's they do this song,
but
then they do this song.
As a film, it's not good.
Oh no, dude. I mean, seriously. Also, it's boring. Like, okay, the color palette. This is not Jungle Book. Like, this is they're in the savannas
and
the desert. It's brown and fucking yellow because it's like they're using photorealistic environments.
Woof.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So that visually, it's not engaging. The huge disconnect between the songs and the fucking lions is just, like, it's bizarre. It's not beyond the uncanny valley. Here's the other thing. Scene for scene, shot for shot remake almost the majority of the time, but Can You Feel the Love Tonight is being sung and performed during broad fucking daylight.
Weird.
They're rolling around in the daytime singing Can You Feel the Love Tonight.
You know, I don't know if you know this.
I don't even know why that
happened. People can totally fuck in the daytime.
Yeah, but sure. the song says tonight.
And in the original, yeah. It's at night.
Well, maybe in like, this one, like the this. Love they're referring to is his seed flowing through her and impregnating.
But tonight.
I don't want to figure it tonight.
He laid the seed during the day, but she can feel it in the night.
I'm just like watching like, what night? What fucking night? Like,
M night, dog.
He's over there fucking arms crossed. This is bullshit.
This was an M. Night movie. Dude, that's a twist. Thug.
Well, and speaking of who I was with, it got so bad for her, she started trolling the audience. They were laughing at all the jokes, and she's all, ah, ha, ha, ah, ha, ha. And it was like, and then I started getting laughs out of that, because that shit was funny. I was like, stop, stop, stop. And she's all, no, fuck all these right. people.
No.
We were pissed. She's like, fuck these people.
I feel like we've talked about Lion King entirely.
Entirely too much.
I talked about a few things in there, though.
Matthew. Other than the Lion King... Can we talk about other movies?
Do you want the thumbs up or the thumbs down?
Let's hit them with the thumbs down.
Okay. I know it comes across like I hate fucking everything.
That's not true.
I don't. I'm just very selective, and I really.
You just sound like a bro.
I really hate when we get screeners and I gotta shit all over them.
Oh yeah, that's rough.
But the amazing Tatum Juan, she sent us. I assume it's a she. Sent us a screener for a movie called Dead Sight.
Right.
And
I've been seeing the emails come back and forth on this one.
My review of Dead Sight on Letterboxd is one of the longest reviews I've ever written.
Yikes.
Because it's so easy to shit all over this movie.
It's no good.
So this movie has two main characters, a blind guy who wakes up chained to a piece of metal in an ambulance in a zombie apocalypse, and a very, very pregnant police officer.
Okay, so in theory, that sounds pretty all right.
Well, it would.
Great.
Except there's no plot. There's no character development. There's very minimal dialogue. Tons of stupid choices. This movie is a perfect example of just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yikes.
There is not a thing that's redeemable about this movie at all. It's very, very bad. And the fact that it's a zombie movie, so it's in an oversaturated market already, there is nothing about this movie that is going to stand out, withstand the test of time. There's nothing positive about this film. And I feel really shitty saying that about a screener, but like, why do I gotta fucking lie?
That's
you know, like, but it was very, very, very bad. That being said, we do have a copy of Dead Side on DVD that maybe we'll give away on our Instagram.
Nice. Good segue.
But then I watched two movies that I actually...
I fucking dig that.
Two movies I actually really
liked.
That whole
thing you just did, I like it.
I do.
The first movie is called The Thingy, Confessions of a Teenage Placenta.
That is a trauma movie.
It is a trauma movie. And it's fucking bonkers. A female bodybuilder gives birth to a live placenta, like with eyes and a mouth and everything. The placenta grows up, goes through like childhood and adolescence and high school. It goes through the whole thing of losing its virginity. It's fucking bananas. If you like trauma movies, this is a fucking trauma movie, hands down. The other movie I saw that I liked more than The Thingy was called Screamers, but it's also called Island of the Fishmen. It's from 1979. It's basically like these creatures that guarded Atlantis, I think, but they're like these fishmen, you know, kind of like the creatures from the Black Lagoon. It's fucking rad, dude. It's got so much gore, so much cool practical effects, especially for 1979. It felt very Shaked much like a Fulci movie.
1979.
I knew that was coming. Knew it. Cool kids never have the time.
Cool kids never have the time.
You know, he bought a wrestling federation. Just saying.
No apologies ever need be made.
I'm just going to let him keep going.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't heard that song in a good while now.
Better than you. Thank you. You and I.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Shoot me.
And we.
I sent you that video, didn't I?
Which one?
The one where
it's,
oh where yeah, it's on the roller coaster.
On a roller coaster.
Yeah. Yes. So that's really what I watched.
Cool.
I'm about halfway through Stranger Things.
We'll talk about it.
It's, yeah, I fucking love it so far.
Okay. Well. Okay. So good. Have you watched Stranger Things at all?
Nope.
Ah, shit.
Shit.
Yeah. Shit.
It's so
not
much,
on my side as my ego becomes.
So much better.
It is. So I finished it. And
I've been trying not to do
here's
that.
What I tell, here's what I would tell you. The Russia stuff, get him out of here.
Get him out of here.
That's what I'm talking about.
We got the flatulating fat chicks.
Get him out of here.
He's a real man, Bubba. So, never mind. Go.
Wait, is that still Sprung Monkey?
Yeah.
Okay.
He says some shit in there. Like
I don't even know what that is. All right. Anyway,
California girls, they drive me crazy.
What were you saying about Stranger Things?
They smoke weed, dude. They're cool.
They smoke weed. They're fucking cool kids now, dude. They smoke weed. Take shrooms.
Stupid, Sprung Monkey, dude.
Oh my god. Anywho. Yeah, dude, so much better than the second season.
Yeah, I
love the creature.
Mm-hmm. They do a lot of thing body horror.
They're trying so hard to
redeem themselves.
Dude, if this is their thing, if they're just gonna like kind of bite off different sci-fi horror movies every season, I'm fucking down.
When you get there, dude, there is a straight lift of a Star Wars scene. It's incredible.
It's good.
It's good. It's a visual. You see it and you're like, oh, this is Star Wars. I love it.
Is it an earlier episode or a later one?
Okay. Late.
Because I think we just finished episode 5.
I gotta watch it.
This is good.
I after the second one, I was like, I'm fucking done. And like I said, I only started watching it because of the talk that Dead by Daylight was gonna get a Demogorgon killer. But I'm so glad I started watching again, because that second season took a nosedive, and this one is, it's not as good as the first one, but it's definitely trying to correct the ship.
No, and
right the ship.
Right the ship. Yeah, it is. It's making it made us big strides in terms of bringing the core audience back, I think. Well, no, maybe the core audience never left.
So I feel like the second season tried to expand the, well, it did expand the universe.
Yeah.
But it expanded a little too much because it left the town that one episode. And so maybe they've learned their lessons from.
There is no
episode. Do what works and cut that shit out.
There is no episode 7 of season 2. Gotcha. And that's the biggest compliment I can give it.
Which one was that? The one where like 11 goes all punk rock?
Yeah.
Yeah, I skipped that one. I heard that it had nothing to do with the story, and so I'm like, all right, I don't need to watch that one.
Well, I heard that, and I just felt bad if I didn't actually watch it. And then I actually watched it and was like, I could have completely fucking skipped that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, wow. I'm glad I did.
It's terrible. But anywho, yeah, I think it's a very, very, very good season. It's not perfect. It's got its thingies that not so great, but
like the Confessions of a Teenage Placenta thing.
Yeah, yes.
Let me ask you: does it get you excited at the prospect of a fourth season?
Yeah.
Yes.
You open to that. You.
The way it ends, pretty tragically. There's some characters that.
Oh, if Steve dies, I'm gonna be pissed.
There are some characters that leave us that are real sad, but
I don't think I'd be sad if anybody died. I don't like anybody that much.
What if Steve died?
If Steve died, I'd be bummed, and I might boycott the show. But other than that, because like Steve had Steve has had such a great redemption arc.
Yep.
Like he was an absolute piece of shit, and now he's like one of the fun guys. He's always hanging out with Dustin. Yeah, he's you know, fucking shirtless Daddy Steve. I'm in. Ship it.
ship it.
Yeah. Get it. I mean, I'm totally into it.
Yeah. And also I will say this too, that mall that they're in, I had a bit of a nostalgiasm. You see, like,
did you make that word up?
Sam Goody.
I don't know. Did I?
That's a good word.
Nostalgiasm?
Nostalgiasm.
Okay. You saw like Sam Goody and the OG JCPenney logo. Yep. And
I was damn, Sam Goody. That place was so easy to steal from. The
Big Cookie
store. Yeah. God. How many media places there were?
I never went to those Big Cookie stores. And they always had those weird cookies in the glass display that had been there for like 3 years. And it's like, how is that shit not moldy?
That mall was a trip because I go, that's basically, it was basically our malls as kids. Yeah.
It's crazy how malls are fucking ghost towns now too. Mm-hmm. Like every mall you go to, half the buildings are
closed.
Have
you guys been to Horton Plaza recently?
Yeah. No. About 2 months ago. It's nuts.
It's weird.
It's fucking nuts. Well, Plaza Bonita is still pretty packed.
Yeah.
Plaza Bonita. There's like a sickness that spread through Horton Plaza where it started at that one end that had the Sam Goody and it's just kind of spreading where like everything is closed. No, it started up at that top level where the McDonald's was and then it kind of just melded all together.
Yeah, that's due for, they're going to just fucking.
Oh, they're tearing that shit down.
Yeah.
They'll probably build another homeless park.
What, Horton?
Yeah.
Well, it's been purchased.
Yeah. No, they're going to fucking demolish.
If anything, it's going to be condominiums. It's not going to be a homeless park. Yeah.
No. I was making fun of how they built that big ass park that's supposed to be beautiful. And now all the homeless just shit there.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Anywho, Rhett, did you watch anything other than Lion King?
Nope.
Okay. Anything else?
Not that I've watched, there's like some news out of Comic-Con. There's going to be two more Halloween movies that have been announced. Yep, Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers will be in both of them.
Can't be any worse than the sequel that we watched.
The one we watched wasn't terrible.
That's what I mean.
And like,
it's got so much hate on it from certain circles.
Oh, it can be so much worse.
It could be fucking awful.
Yeah, but I'm glad at least by... But
it could be. I didn't think that was.
By the title Halloween Ends, I feel like this is them saying like we have a definitive endpoint for this story.
The arc.
Yeah, for this arc. So I'm into that. If it's like a three-season arc or a four-season arc
over the years.
Well, yeah, there's the Rob Zombie shit version.
No, I was kidding. I meant like
oh, you mean
his character arc. He's not a very dynamic character.
He's grown so much over the
He doesn't even have, he has one facial expression, literally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is no, that's what makes him so scary.
Right. Like, he's the shape.
I think it was in the first one, Dr. Loomis, he has this monologue where he's like, I met this child with this blank, pale, emotionless look on his face. You know, the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. So like Michael, even as a kid without the mask, has just been like, yeah, just fucking cold and dead inside. Like me.
Mm-hmm. Just like
sad. Also out of Comic-Con, Mahershala Ali is the new Blade. The guy from
very excited about that.
From Luke Cage.
Yeah, he's really Moonlight fucking good. And fucking True Detective season 3.
He's got the face, dude.
And Green Book.
He's got the face.
Well, he's got the chops, dude. Like he was in Alita, which gives me hope for his action chops. That's the thing. Like Wesley Snipes as a martial artist, as a physical performance, that's gonna be hard to fuck with.
Most of the stuff was CGI anyway.
Oh sure, especially now. Yeah. So it'll be fine. Nonetheless, physically commanding. Dude, he's a very physically commanding presence.
And I don't want to get too far into the Marvel circle jerk, but that the sort of the poster, if you will, of all the Marvel films that are coming up in the next few years. Can you imagine seeing that 10 years ago?
Oh, I'd fucking lose. It's insane.
You would
it's
have insane, said, like, George. I'm sorry. What? As Doctor Strange, what? Multiverse? What?
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Like, that is so fucking, dude. I like,
can't. The only multiverse that matters is the Masters of the Multiverse with Demon Bunny. Just saying. Watch that shit on YouTube. It's good stuff.
But the multiverse includes that.
They constantly multiverse. Wear a Who Probably. Goes Their Podcast shirt in that show. The multiverse detectives, multiverse police force, always wearing Defense Stupidity shirts.
Nice. Hell cool. Yeah. Anywho, yeah.
Hell.
What else, type. Dude? What about
all the trailers that came out?
I did see that they are. There's going to be a Snowpiercer show.
Yep.
Which probably is not going to be very good.
I think that's AMC.
But.
Well, that's.
I have hopes.
They're going to fit it in between their three different Walking Dead shows that nobody gives a shit about.
Yeah, they need to stop.
I stood in line for a ration from the Snowpiercer booth at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah?
What was it? It's a granola bar.
Oh. I'd be like, bitch, this ain't even got chocolate in it.
Bitch, you ain't no nerd.
Throw it back at him. Bitch, this ain't Quaker Oats.
That shit's a mistake.
Yeah, bitch, that's a mistake. You know that show on Netflix, The Toys That Made Us?
Yeah. I watched the first episode. Yes.
How do you not know that?
I did see it.
Okay. They're making a series called The Movies That Made Us, and they're going to have an episode all about Ghostbusters. Not the Paul Feig one. But you know, the good one.
Well, the modern Ghostbusters, the most recent one, was probably the most influential film on my life personally.
Even more than Die Hard, because Die Hard is also going to be on this series.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Die Hard, Home Alone, Dirty Dancing, and Ghostbusters.
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
That needed a fucking sequel.
That's Die Hard for chicks, I guess. Right? Fuck, dude.
That's Tomb Raider, dude.
I don't mean to be
stupid. Nobody puts Hans Gruber in the corner.
Having not watched that film in its entirety until the last couple months, I am not fucking impressed.
Dirty Dancing?
Dude, I am not.
It's...
Wait, you just saw Dirty Dancing?
That's
why
I mentioned it on here.
I've literally never seen it.
I made a deal to watch that film if she'd watch these other films.
It's like, if you watch a Serbian film, I'll watch Dirty Dancing.
All right.
Have you seen a Serbian film yet, Rhett?
Nope.
Oh, we should change that.
Nope. They got some baby scenes, some baby thing.
Nah, you don't know until you watch it. I think you'll actually like it. Like, we had a really good conversation about it, about how like it's competently done and it's got a lot to say. And that those two scenes that people really focus on are just there for nothing more than shock value.
Right.
But like the rest of the movie as a whole, if you take those two little bits out, is actually very competent and well done.
Gotcha. You'd mentioned, all I know is I guess the shock value scene is the baby scene.
Well, that's one of them.
Yeah.
There's two big ones.
Well, I haven't seen it, but shock value, if you do something for shock value, like, okay, I'm not averse to that either, necessarily. I'm like, it's okay to do shock value. Yeah. If you've got something else.
As long as it's not the Poughkeepsie tapes.
Oh, that was not... Yeah.
Not good.
I'd prefer some shock value in that one.
Yeah.
back to Ghostbusters. There's going to be Ghostbusters at Halloween Horror Nights.
I saw that.
We got to get VIP tickets this time,
dude. Yeah, dog. A giant Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
Fuck those last year's tickets, dude. Those were garbage. We're getting VIP.
Those were just regular tickets.
Yeah. Dog. Regular ass tickets. We're getting VIP this year. And you're coming with us, loser.
What
Okay, look, dude, it's too. Don't already say you've got plans.
Yeah.
No, I don't. No, but I am going already.
Oh.
So I'll go twice.
Wait, with your sentient
carbon-based life form?
With Franny.
Well, maybe we can coordinate.
I think we should, because there's no reason.
We should coordinate.
The only person who's made this fucking weird is me. Because you guys never even fucking met her.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe it'll be the first time we meet Fran.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, like, I get if you're embarrassed, dog.
Like, she likes me, though, so that tells you everything.
Who's he embarrassed of, himself or us?
He's embarrassed because it's like...
I liked it was a run-on joke.
He doesn't want us to meet the kind of woman that would date him.
That's what I just said. She likes me. She likes me. So it's like, damn.
Well, welcome to our wives, dude.
Yeah. She's probably a goddamn saint, I'll tell you what.
I'm a little newer to this experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last relevant thing that I wanted to mention is that a movie that we saw, well, Alia saw at Telluride last year that she was really into, called Tigers Are Not Afraid.
It just got released.
It's getting released August 23rd, but it's only doing, I think, L.A., New York, and Toronto probably for a weekend, and then it's going to Shudder in September.
Be cool to go up to L.A.
Yeah. It's the day before Alia's birthday, too, so and there's a wrestling event on her birthday, so...
Right.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty fucking likely. She's got
Quinny's birthday. Or no, Micah's birthday.
Micah's birthday.
Yeah.
Quinn's got yours. How do I know your kid's birthday better than you do, dog? I know when my wife's birthday is. I know when your birthday is. So
there you go, dude.
Makes sense. Plus, like, I was going to fight Micah if he tried to steal my birthday, dude. Like, I told George, I'm like, your kid is due on my birthday. I swear to God, he better not be. I threatened him so much that Micah stayed in there for like 3 weeks.
An extra 2 weeks. Yep, yeah, 2.5 weeks.
He's like, nah, fuck that, dude.
I ain't going to fucking fight that loser.
He fucking felt the vibrations.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's cool. That's all the big news out of Comic-Con, unless there was something announced
today.
There
wasn't today much, yeah. It wasn't much.
Yeah, like, I mean, maybe with other shit, but nothing really horror-y. So, oh well.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and come back to talk about Luz.
That's Spanish for light.
Luz. Luz. We'll be right back. Hey, guess what?
I was talking about my teeth, dude.
Hey, Rhett. Guess what?
What up? Yeah, what's going on?
Guess what?
What's that fucking
black
puppet?
We're back.
Puppet from Arrested
I want you to guess.
I'm guessing that we're back?
We're back.
All right.
Hey, Rhett.
Yeah.
What's up with the Patreon, my dude?
The Patreon. Fuck. This doesn't go well.
For somebody
the Patreon,
who actually listens to the show, you would think he would know this bit by now.
You'd think it's just like not like this. The Patreon
not like this
is what makes it possible for us to continue doing what we do. Really though, it's the listeners that offer support to us, and this show is a labor of love, but it's not free, and you get exclusive content and bonus materials. Sometimes there's Patreon like special episodes. There's some gift packages that come out every now and then that you'll get.
We gotta send those out.
And you get our everlasting praise and appreciation.
Your boy has grown up.
He's and learning.
If
your boy has grown up.
If I see you in public, I'll probably, you know, never mind. I'm not
gonna. Yeah, if you're a Patreon member, like, we'll actually talk to you.
Yeah.
So you get that benefit too.
Yeah, and that'd be really awkward because, like, I sound like, oh, okay, he'd be pretty approachable. No, I'm very, very, very awkward.
Yeah, same.
And so,
yeah, see,
same.
Jacob fell in love with your autism, and then he became a patron. So that worked.
Yeah, but see, then I feel bad because we went to the room together, and I felt like that's the thing. It was probably not the case, but I felt like I am really disappointing Jacob tonight.
Oh, dude, the struggle is real.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to be on. It's like,
he was fucking on with his buddy at that showing.
Whenever I meet people that know us primarily through the show, I always preface it by saying like, hey.
Yo, I'm not as funny in real life.
Look, no, well, not that I'm not funny, because I don't think I'm that funny, honestly. But I always preface it. I go, look, dude, if I come off across sort of standoffish, it's not you. It's my own bullshit. And, you know, I apologize firsthand. It's weird, dude. It's weird.
Yeah.
Hey! Yeah. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. I want to throw that out because he didn't.
Yes. Anywho. That's important. So if you'd like to help out and donate anything you can, it's up to you. And thank you very much. And that's the show.
And good night, everybody. We've been recording for almost an hour and a half now.
Jesus Christ,
really? The Who Goes There podcast. Watch 2018's or 2019's, depending on where you're at in the world or you know what timeline you're on.
Here it's 2019.
2019's Loose, directed by Tillman Singer. Written by Tillman Singer, starring Luana Velez, Johannes Benneke,
the Germans,
Jan Bluthart,
Fräulein,
Julia Riedler, and Nadja Stubidgler, as Bertillon. Storyline.
No.
Oh, gosh.
Don't even do it.
Loose. A young cab driver, not caregiver, drags herself into a brightly lit entrance of a rundown police station. A demonic entity follows her.
As opposed to a poorly lit police station.
Determined to finally be close to the women it loves.
What?
It says women?
Women. Maybe we... Woman it loves.
Sounds like I didn't get the movie from that.
Hey, Matt, what'd you think of Loose?
I think I'd actually like to go last.
Okay. Rhett, what'd you think of Loose?
I'll mention the commendable things first. I know this is the debut film from this Tillman fellow. It's got some considerable style here and there that was intermittently impressive to me and some atmosphere. And the whole ordeal to me, I'm sorry, is just not engaging to me at all. It did not really hold my attention. I think it's got some good ideas because I haven't seen some of these things before about how like this entity, you know, the whole midsection, how there's the hypnosis aspect to it.
Right.
And then the thing shows up mid-hypnosis and like it's just I know it's deliberate that it's incoherent, the plot, meaning the plot is deliberately incoherent.
Right.
It doesn't get a pass just because of that.
Yeah.
And it was just not – it did not hold my attention for long periods of time.
I felt very much the same way. The issue that I have with these movies again, and this was it.
Well, if you think like Midsommar is an art house horror film, it looks like Elmo's World.
It really digs into this movie. Really digs into the art house. The problem I have with it is it comes across like a high school drama project, and I don't want to dig too far into this because I feel like we need to talk about it before. Maybe I need to like figure out things that happened. But
well, yeah, good luck.
It's incomprehensible to a fault. And the issue I have with movies like this is there is no grounding rod, so to speak. So there isn't a moment of clarity. It's all fucking wacky and none of it makes any sense. And I enjoy wackiness, dude. I love it. I love wacky ass movies and
mind fucks and all that
and stuff. Mind fucky movies. But this is neither wacky enough to hold my attention, and it's not grounded enough to make any goddamn sense. That's there. Matt?
I am shocked that neither one of you enjoyed this movie. Because I kind of love this movie. I've watched it 3 times.
No. This is not cheating.
I have watched it 3 times.
Maybe he can explain it to us, dude.
Oh, I can. Because this is one of those movies where you pick up things every time you watch it. And I feel like it gets better literally every time you watch it. The first time I watched it at work.
Who are you?
Dude,
he's loose, dude.
You got loose. What had happened is I've been watching, like, since Brian and I have been writing these screenplays, I've been watching a lot of videos, like, breaking down, like, different types of, like,
structure and arcs
and, like, you know, stuff like that.
You're fucking.
And so I'm trying to pay attention to things. And so the first time I watched Loose, I watched it at work. So, like, it basically didn't count. Because, you know, like, this is a movie where you have to be very engaged in what's happening. You have to be paying attention to what's happening.
And the sound is important in this.
The sound is super important. Right. And, like, honestly, that scene at the bar, I was kind of, like, on my phone and doing work and stuff. And, like, there is so much shit that gets explained at that bar, and if you're not paying attention, none of the fucking movie makes sense.
Yeah, and I like the little shots with, I mean, I shouldn't even call them shots, but the vibe of that bar, of the bar thing, and the eye, when they do the close-ups on the eyes, and I mean, the whole vibe of that, I'm like on board, and then it's just, it just, for me, it seemed to plod on things so long.
Yeah.
I mean,
which I'm not usually averse to.
It did and it didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you're kind of aware of what's happening, which I apparently I wasn't the first time, because like none of this shit made sense the first time I watched it. And then I watched it again, paying a little more attention. And I'm like, I need to actually sit down and fucking watch this. I didn't touch my phone for the full 70 minutes. Like,
right. If it's Ollie, a short movie, I will say that.
Yeah, if Ollie was talking, I paused it, like, so I didn't miss anything. Because they switch back and forth between Spanish, Portuguese, and German.
Right.
And, like, a lot of the times, these languages are overlapping each other. And so you're getting this really kind of...
hodgepodge of shit.
Not even that. It's, like, this unique experience where it's kind of... Like George said, there's no grounding rod. So like you're hearing this language and you're reading the subtitles of what they're saying, but then it's you're abstract. Hearing somebody saying it in German where you're getting like the subtitle again.
It sounds
again
like you're developing a appreciation for abstract film.
It's
that's what this sounds like, and I'm freaking out right now.
It was
it's not good, dude.
It was I as I'm watching this movie, I feel like there's more to this movie than I'm getting, and I really need to focus on it. And when I watched it tonight, like when I text you, I can leave now. I had just finished watching.
So here's the thing. I think at its core, I think the story is simple.
It is.
I think. Now I want to talk about it because maybe I'm missing something, and maybe on my view,
the way you watched it, I guarantee you missed something. One headphone in with like on your phone, like you definitely missed.
Well, that's the thing. At that point, I'm so disconnected from anything that I don't know. I don't know if I care to miss the last like 2 seconds of the film.
Right.
That bar scene was something.
Yeah.
The bathroom scene is something.
Is something.
There's a few things are. I mean, when it goes back and forth during the hypnosis sequence to her in the car eventually, that's what I mean. I like what it's doing. I like that.
I have
to be honest. I was not engaged. Like I don't like saying that this didn't engage. It didn't though. I'm being honest. Like it really didn't.
Well, I mean, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm like, I want to get behind this. Like, I look at that poster. I love that fucking
what's
poster.
What's your
I love the title card of the movie, how it looks.
Yeah, what's your understanding of the plot?
My understanding of the plot, there's an entity, what I got from it, there's an entity that's going from person to person.
Right.
And then they were trying to recount what occurred in the taxi cab via hypnosis or something along those lines.
But see, that's the thing that... That's sort
not,
of it, right?
That's
but
not
the, that's
entirely
the,
right.
The, at that point, it's the demon that's hypnotizing Luce, right?
Sure. Right. So what had happened?
Because because it's moved on to the guy,
right?
In the bathroom.
So the timeline of this is really fucky because a lot of it, like you said, is in hypnosis, and she's recounting the events from earlier in the evening,
right?
Which they do a lot of jumping between. What's happening now? What happened then? There's people who are showing up that aren't actually in the room.
Yeah, because it's part of their perception of things, of time and events. And what, not the yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and they do, you know, like
and it doesn't tell you when that's occurring. The line isn't there.
And see, that's why, like the first time, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't understand any of this movie.
Right.
And you know, when George said that it's kind of like a high school presentation of this film. He's not wrong in the way that it feels like a drama improv class, you know, where it's like, okay, Luce, what's on the radio, you know, and then she's kind of reacting to that. But
well, and she's like pretending to be in a car when she's in chairs. That feels like drama class because that is drama class.
Well, but the thing that I liked about that is they're putting sound effects with things that she's doing.
Yeah.
Like when she lights the cigarette, you hear, there's no cigarette. She's pantomiming the whole thing, but you hear the Zippo pop open and the flick, and there's like smoke that comes in when she gets in the car accident. So there's like a lot of stuff.
Your mind starts filling in stuff you're not seeing.
Yeah. So, and it does that more and more on the watches. So what had happened from what I grasp at the earliest point of the timeline,
Which is because the beginning of the movie isn't the beginning of the timeline.
No, the beginning of the movie is years after the beginning of the timeline, because the beginning of the timeline is essentially when they're in the all-girls school together.
Right.
So Luce,
that I caught,
has this, I don't know if they're implying she's a witch, because they're saying that she has almost like this power of suggestion. Where,
well, it's not that she's a witch. I think that she's been infected by the demon since she was a child.
Okay. It referred to her kind of being involved in occult stuff as a kid. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling that I
got. What do you mean occult stuff as a kid?
Well, because didn't it suggest that by doing a flashback?
To, like, in school, right?
Yeah.
So, she was into occult stuff then, but what I'm saying is, like, I think she had this kind of power of suggestion, because they made this thing that said, if she said she smelled fish, like, suddenly all the other girls started smelling fish.
They thought
that she poisoned somebody. And you piece together these little things where they're talking about, like, what you did to Margarita, and they're talking about this pregnant girl. So what I can piece together is that Margarita was her roommate, and she wanted to see what Margarita would be like as a vessel, because she was very open to suggestion. So she convinced Margarita that she was pregnant,
right,
and then convinced Margarita, I can help you. And that's when she said the prayer to bring this demon forth to go into Margarita. That's why she said, are you here? And when you meet the curly-haired blonde girl in the bar, she's talking about the time when she met Luce. And at first, I'm just thinking
already infected.
She's already the demon at that point.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, like, she's just Luce's friend at the beginning. So she's telling the story about how Luce called her forth. They got caught by a janitor, and Luce got suspended. So it's basically like Luce brought this demon forward, and then she was taken away from the demon, and the demon kind of always missed her and always wanted her back. But it only came forth when Luce said that prayer. So the demon was gone for years. Luce is now a cab driver who runs into one of her old schoolmates and has this awkward interaction in the cab. The schoolmate confronts her, saying that she poisoned everyone and all the shit she did to Margarita. And then she's like, we prayed for you. And Luce is like, you want to hear how I fucking pray, bitch? And she says this devil's prayer again, which is when the demon came back. The demon then, like, chokes Luce with the chain, that little bit. They get in the car accident. The demon is fully there. Demon is then communicating with Luce. I don't understand why they had this little thing where the demon's like, you know where I want to go, Luce jumps out. Then the demon goes to the bar. Then infects the psychiatrist, and then they both end up at the police station together.
That's the thing, dude. Here's what I ultimately what I feel about it is that they're trying to overcomplicate it, right?
Yeah.
To the point where it's incomprehensible in terms of who's the demon now? And I understand. Look, if we want to say, like, hey bro, art films don't need to make sense. I fucking get that.
So do I.
I get it, but
also, I don't know that this really constitutes as an art
this
film.
Is, dude, this is
it's artsy.
This is art
it's
as
an
fuck,
experimental
dude.
Art film.
This is basically like a homeboy farting on a snare drum in the middle of like Times Square. That's kind of how I feel about that.
Steam in a room full of chairs, and her pretending to be in a car when she's in a chair, and then like sounds that aren't in the room happening off camera. Art film.
See, but I I feel like when shit like this happens in other movies, you guys are like really into it. Like,
I get what you're. That's why I'm saying I don't like to. This didn't engage me.
Yeah,
like it did intermittently because I got with the vibe. And I'm like, cool. I'm getting hypnotized. That's tight. That's nice. But also, look, I'll tell you. I'll be flat out with this. I'm gonna jump the gun here.
We're way deep into spoilers already.
No, not spoilers. How many movies am I fucking going to just like give a pass because it has a cool synth score? Like, okay, like I'm sorry. It hit me at the end during the credits.
Damn it, they've almost got me.
No, because I thought, dude, because I like the fucking music. Yeah. And I like the tone of it. But then I'm like, you know what, dude?
It's not enough
synth scores, dude. Like,
a
when
synth
are you,
score
what's
does
the
not
next
a good
thing?
Movie make.
When's the fucking next thing? Because this synth score, it's gone too fucking. I'll say it. It's 2019.
It's gone too far.
We got to get past this fucking synth score.
Mandy,
fucking,
you were the last movie that could do it.
Well, and he had orchestral shit in that. But yeah, I agree. I agree. Like, it follows, I mean, it follows, that was years ago now, and it was like, wow, this fucking cool,
yeah,
the synth thing is the back,
synth core thing,
starry eyes, yeah, and blah, 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 and now it's like, enough, dude.
Yeah, music aside, I think that, fine, the score is great.
Well, the sound design, too.
The sound design is really dumb. Fucking
Here's
great.
The thing. The film has really cool scenes. The bar scene, super neat. The bathroom scene, super neat. The
bathroom scene was very Cronenberg-y too to me, by the way, as far as his body fucking, you know, all the.
I got this weird thing about, I'm assuming she gave him a hand job with like his own hand. Because she's like,
passed the thing on to him through, well, the D.
No, it was through the kiss. That's what it was. Because she had that glowing orb thing in her mouth. But she's like, you know, I can help you, but first you need to help me. And he's like, yeah, cool. They go into the bathroom, and then she goes, "Give me your hand."
And I
they
start her doing line this delivery really too, like her line delivery, yeah, and his looks and all. I like that. I like
the,
all that.
The thing I do I appreciate like the really thing like that I do appreciate is that the actors are able to shift in and out of language,
yeah,
fairly easily. The Spanish stuff, I was like, ooh, why don't do this? This is no good.
Like, don't speak in Spanish?
Yeah.
Because it was...
The accent was fucking god-awful, dude. And I understand that it's
German. You don't even have the thickest Spanish accent on this show.
Well, it might be more of a Spanish accent rather than a Mexican accent.
It's German actors, you know, doing Spanish-speaking. But if it's going to...
Yeah, what do you think? They're from fucking Mexico,
and,
dude?
And Portuguese.
But if it's going to come across that weird, don't do it. Don't fucking do it. That, like, the Spanish speaking scenes and even the Portuguese coming out of the German mouths, I was like, ooh, hey, see, I will, wow.
God, you know, for the parts that,
and if it's the demon doing it, demon would have a fucking good accent.
Well, see, for the parts that Alia was awake for, she made a comment that maybe the Spanish was intended to be more Latin. You know, like, because they asked the demon, like, oh, since when have you spoke Spanish? And he's like, since it was invented. So I don't know if that's more of a Latin thing. See, I mean, and my big issue with this movie is like what that post cab scene, like why that has to happen. Because the demon is already in the cab with Luz, and the demon keeps saying the word forgot and forget. And every time he does, he snaps. And it's almost like,
it's always on forget.
He's got this hypnotized thing that's going on.
Sure. He's setting. Yeah, exactly.
And so at this point, like Luz jumps out of the cab, lets Jesus take the wheel. And Jesus drives this girl to the bar as Luz walks into the police station. So the demon can infect this psychologist who then goes to talk to Luz at the police station, which I don't know why they had to add that extra step rather than having, you know, the interaction between Luz and the demon there. But the fact that he hypnotized her there and then instantly like shit just starts getting crazy. Like when the screen goes to black after she gets hypnotized, it's on that black screen for so long that it's like, wow, this is really, you know, like excessive. I just keep thinking of you. No, of you saying like that there's nothing to ground you. So the fact that it's all black in the middle of a movie, you're like, did the movie stop? Like, did this fuck up? What happened? And it to me kind of is like that shot in Midsommar where they go upside down as they're driving into the thing where it's like, oh, look, everything is different now. And like, this is where shit gets fucked up, because that's where shit gets fucked up.
Yeah.
You start seeing that girl pop up everywhere. The guy is now the demon. I don't get why he dressed up like that girl after he became a dude. Like,
dude.
The demon switched into the dude, and he like still took that girl's clothes. But like, there's little nuances that I didn't notice.
Well, I think that the demon
just liked cross-dressing.
I think that the demon doesn't. It's not infecting a single person. I think that it's our perception of the demon, right? So like everybody's infected by a demon. Luz is the fucking the girl.
This is the kind of movie where even when you talk about it, it sounds like we all have our head up our ass.
So wait, like, are you saying the demons?
And I'm saying that. That's saying something.
You're saying like the demons kind of like that entity in Annihilation where it can, it's kind of like presenting itself how like we need to see it at the time.
Yeah, of course, because the scene in the taxi, well, not in the taxi, but the fake
in the car, or
the
in
fake
the
taxi,
the chairs.
It's
in the taxi.
It sort of spoon feeds you that, hey, no, nobody's safe from the fucking demon, because, you know, as Luce, you know, as Luce is talking, homegirl in the back is talking, and then there are moments that Luce is talking by, you know, for her own self.
Did you notice that when that girl in the back is talking, Luce's mouth was
moving? Yeah.
I thought that was a really nice detail,
which is fine. It's fine. It's a good detail, but
you know, this film was this guy's thesis, right? Like, this is not only his first, but it's his film school thesis.
I wanted to mention that. I am excited to see where this goes, meaning this being what he does next. I think as a feature, he's got a very singular, I mean, he's got these long unbroken shots, but then he has ways where, and it's like you've seen that before, but his, you know, his lighting and his kind of, he has these things where the shot doesn't break, but the camera moves very slowly around the room. Before you know it, you're at a completely different angle in the room mid-conversation, and it's like, oh, wow, he still hasn't broken the shot, but you don't really notice the movement. Yeah. Like, that's interesting. That kind of stuff, like, that's interesting to me. And it bodes well. Like, I think, yeah, I have no issue with this guy's approach. I just, yeah, man, it just didn't take me there. I was like,
I think you may need to watch it again. Like, that's the thing. Like,
you guys once watch fucking Midsommar.
Once you know, like, with what happens, hammer
smashing the face.
Once you know what happens, it's like a lot easier to start picking stuff up. Like,
but that's the thing, though. Is it that incomprehensible that, like, on the first viewing you don't get it?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I feel like I've got it. I feel like I've got it.
No, it might be a pretty opaque. It seems like a pretty opaque film. Like, it would take. I get it. Like, I'll give it. Look, man, it's entirely possible. I'm not getting the everything it's suggesting here, because it's so deliberate. I said at the beginning too, what he's doing with the sounds.
Everything is deliberate. Yeah. That's what
when it's that deliberate, I know I'm missing shit. I know I'm not exactly getting what he's telling me.
Okay, look, Matthew, you can't just drop exactly and that be like, fucking, there's my dick.
Well, I've been explaining my dick this whole time.
Yeah, he explained it pretty well.
It's fine. It's fine.
I mean,
dude, he likes abstract cinema, and you don't.
What I'm
clearly,
maybe you just don't get it, bro.
Maybe, dude,
you fucking brain dead, bro.
He's fucking trolling us right now, dude. Can you imagine? Dude,
he's trying to get back at that brain dead bro comment, dude.
No, look, I'm being 100% to this one. Like, there's like a lot of
yeah, dude. When Red
alienate and I, all the other fucking listeners.
When Red
that,
and I are like, dude, this art house piece of shit, get it out of here.
Yeah, what the fuck? Can we watch a trauma movie, please?
That's the thing, dog. I'm a fucking enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Give
you don't
me fucking
know me,
street
homie.
Trash, man. I don't want to watch take this
street,
shit.
We already did street trash.
Yeah, I know, but like,
I'll do another Melt movie. But there's a lot of things I didn't pick up in the first, like when they're in the bathroom and like the girl turns around and you see the little bit of blood, like, on the back of her head and on her jacket.
Yeah, I
like,
caught that.
I barely caught it, but it didn't make any sense then. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I don't get it. But when you realize the timeline of events, it's like, yeah. Oh, she's bleeding because she jumped out of the car. Why is she at this bar? Oh, because she has the fucking demon. You start piecing together all this stuff. And like towards the end, I really felt like the demon had a big plan in mind, because nobody gets killed in this movie, essentially, right? Nobody dies?
Well, it's hard to tell.
Yes, no, maybe.
I don't think anybody dies.
That's the thing.
Are they dying in their perceptions? Were they there in the first place?
Well, I mean, okay, I'm assuming...
Dude,
I'm,
is this multiverse?
I'm assuming once Homegirl passed on the light, she died. I'm assuming once the doctor passed on the light,
here's
he
the
died.
Thing. Here's the thing. When Homegirl is in the bathroom dead, she's dead.
Yeah. But, like, the demon puts the other big Amazonian detective lady.
That was a man, by the way.
Was it? I thought so.
100% a man.
But it was supposed to be a woman, right?
Maybe.
I think it was in heels and a skirt.
Maybe it's just
I don't remember.
There
but
are,
I was.
There are now. Don't
I'm
assume.
Not
a, the
don't assume.
I'm
anything,
not assuming
bro.
Anything. All I know is when I saw it, I was like, "That's a huge bitch." But like,
yeah,
so
that's more like it.
So the demon seemed like it knew exactly what it was doing, and it had a bigger plan in mind because it
put, it's a fucking demon, of course.
No, but I mean,
normal, bitch.
But you see these movies now, and it's like the demon comes out, and it's like, I'm just gonna fucking kill people and cause havoc. Like, this demon put that one girl in a trance and was like, I need you to be quiet because I need you for later. Just fucking chill here. And he needed her to walk fucking loose out of the police station because, like, she wasn't just going to be able to walk out on her own. She was in there with a psychiatrist and a detective. They're not just going to let her walk out.
What you're saying,
even
is,
though that front desk guy was the most,
dive so deep,
what you're was the most, me, I watched this movie three times.
What you're telling me is the demon was woke.
He was woke as fuck. Because, like,
he was woke as fuck.
So he didn't.
Wait a minute.
He used that girl as a tool to get loose out.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
He didn't kill the translator because he had no need. And at the end, like, as they're walking out, it almost sounds like somebody's on the phone and there's all this muffling and it sounds like, you know, not a shitty radio transmission. But you realize that that's the translator who's still in his booth, still talking to the huge bitch through the earpiece.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, he watched the whole thing while this other detective was in a trance. This detective doesn't know that Luce has a demon, but that
I'll even go you one translator. Fucking further, dude. I don't think that the blonde curly haired fuck was there.
Which one? The psychiatrist or the?
I don't think he was there. I think he's dead. At that.
What about the guy in the recording
dead in the bathroom?
I think he's dead before he gets to that room. Because that whole, like, hypnotizing scene,
yeah,
it feels so surreal.
That's the demon that's doing it.
What I'm saying, okay, rewind 1 second. What I'm saying is that I think that feels so surreal that I almost think that Luce is making it up in her head. Ultimately, dude, here's what I'm going to tell you.
Wait, so you're thinking...
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I think there is no demon.
No, I disagree. Because, like, why would homegirl have the black eyes and everything? And, like,
she can also dive out of a fucking taxi without being infected by a demon.
Well, I wasn't talking about Luce. I was talking about the huge bitch. Like, so what I'm understanding you're saying is that the psychiatrist isn't actually there.
Correct.
That it's just the huge bitch and the translator.
Correct.
Oh, what about the dude in the recording booth?
I can see that. Now. He was definitely there because they both came out and they talked to her.
He got attacked.
He didn't, like, actually get attacked. You never saw.
Or he attacked the dude.
He attacked the demon thing.
Yeah.
But it could have been Luce, for all we know. That's the thing.
Well,
that's
when he hit it, it was
thing.
Margarita. It was the pregnant girl, but then when he hit the ground,
you know, best film I've seen this year.
It showed up. Honestly, watching this, I was thinking this could easily be number 5. Why do I feel like
you? I don't give a fuck about anything you guys talk about.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It shows.
Look, the thing is I don't give a fuck about what I'm saying. That's really the bummer.
Dude, I think this dude is a major new talent potentially. I do. I just this is his nice. I like his thesis.
See, I'm definitely going to watch it again now that you've presented that idea that psychiatrist was never there.
Bro.
Like,
bro.
I'd have to watch for something. Because when she says, ask her about this, like, she could have been talking to
Matt,
the fucking translator.
I was just fucking with you, dude.
No, but like now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, okay, with the exception.
This is your week.
With the exception of getting bashed in the face with the recorder. Like,
this is your Midsommar, dude.
You're in full screenwriting structure mode and you happen to see this movie. If you had watched fucking... La Llorona, like you'd be doing the same thing.
No,
see,
La Llorona was a fucking hot turd.
Know what La Llorona does?
No, because that has no experimental structure thing or anything.
Yeah.
No.
It shows, not tells, dude. Ooh,
see, but I mean, the thing.
When she gets the doll outside of the house, it's, you know, it doesn't have to tell me what's going on.
The thing this movie, though, and maybe you're right, maybe it is just me fucking combating that fucking idiot troll. Like,
no,
after the first time I watched it, I'm like, there's definitely more here. And like,
there is.
With Midsommar, that's why I watched it again, was because I'm like, there's more than I'm getting here. I need to watch this again.
Yeah.
If I would have just watched it once, I would have been like, what? But like the second viewing, I saw a whole bunch more stuff.
The thing is, I think at the end of the day, I think that this is not a movie that is worth exploring. I think that
like watching once or exploring like watching multiple times and trying to figure out.
Watching multiple times and even this conversation I think is more interesting than the movie itself.
Well, it's cool.
And that's okay. That's fine. That's what we're here for. But I think as a viewer, I think as like a casual...
I'm here to trash fucking bad movies.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I'm just kidding. No, I think as a viewer of film...
It's so much easier.
I think that this movie, it without analyzing it, you know, which is what we're doing and talking about it. I think if I had left this movie with the intention of coming here to this table and talking about it, I'd be like, yo, this was fucking trash. Yeah. Like actual garbage.
Wow.
See, and I mean, I know a lot of the times I say like there's not characters that I give a shit about. And like, to be 100% honest, I didn't really feel invested in any of these characters. But I was yeah. so intrigued by what was happening as a whole and
how
like with,
it was happening.
Yeah. And with the jumping of timelines and like people being there who weren't actually there, like,
that's what I mean. This movie, this is a hard example. I like talking about how things happen in film, not what's happening. Okay. Yeah. Like, and this movie is all about how things happen, because it could be really not very much is occurring, but how it's occurring, like you said, how it suggests like the lighter is not there, but it has the sound of it. So you're filling in the rest of it. Like, it's kind of, that's, I appreciate all that stuff. Nonetheless, this is a case for me where the word I'll use is it. I just was not very engaged with it.
Also,
I don't know why.
Also, I think that the title is at least interesting, because yeah, her name is loose, but I don't think that's the focus of the film.
Like, because it means light, it's more like that light.
I think they're talking about straight up fucking Lightbringer, dude. They're talking about
the Morningstar.
They're talking about Morningstar, dude. It's Satan incarnate.
I mean, that works for me. I'm into that too,
which I'm okay with.
Okay,
I like the idea of motives. Satan like what longing does it want? For somebody. You know what I think it wants?
It wants lesbians to scissor, dude.
Well, what does it want?
I mean, what is it trying to do?
Hang out in a fucking
station? I think it is. I think what it's trying to do is what, just like Luce was trying to find an acceptable medium so she could talk to the devil. I think the devil was trying to find an adequate medium so it could do what it wanted on Earth. Because why else?
The vessel?
Yeah, because
it's a physical vessel.
First, it was in
I mean, that's clear with possession anyway.
Well, but first, it was in that blonde girl, you know? And the blonde girl, maybe it was because she was, you know, dead in the car accident or whatever, but she wasn't an acceptable vessel. That girl from school, her old roommate, wasn't an acceptable vessel. The psychiatrist was not an acceptable vessel. So it wants to get Luce, or it's trying to get some kind of vessel. And it's like, you know what? Luce is the one that can bring me forward. Luce is the one that's interested. She's the most receptive
of the demon seed.
And so that's what it wants. It wants, Luce is the piece that the devil needs, and the devil is
the
piece that Luce
needs. So where's
the
demon been? Just hanging out in blonde
pretty girls? What I'm guessing is it was in her old roommate, Margarita, or just been hopping around through, you know, maybe it was in Margarita, and once it had no other vessel or Luce wasn't there, it kind of just went dormant, because once Luce said the prayer in the cab, it took over that other girl. Mm. And when the demon is hypnotizing Luce, it's whispering it in her ear as she's, you know, drifting off to sleep. And it's like almost reminding her, like, this is what I want from you. This is what I need. And it isn't until Luce says it again later on, when she's doing like the reenactment of her day, that the psychiatrist dude actually like fucking activates his demon. Like, his eyes go white and he gets like all these powers. So like, I think it's kind
of shinning.
I think it's kind of like she needs to say it once to bring the demon forward, and then she needs to say it again to kind of like activate the demon.
I mean, also, and Rhett mentioned it earlier. He said, what's the demon's point, right? What's he doing? Like, all of this fucking rigmarole to just be a low-level fucking demon that's
It seems like the filmmaker having fun with structure. And I get that. But that it seems very... It doesn't seem like something the demon would do. It seems like something a filmmaker would do for his thesis.
It's just a trickster demon. He's just like, I'm going to fuck with you a little bit.
See, I don't know. Like I said, I feel like the demon had a bigger plan in mind, and I feel like Luce is what's going to allow
like a very
him
self-conscious
to...
film, you know? Like, I don't mean it in the... I mean, it's like, oh, then I'm going to do this with the structure. Then I'm going to do this with the thing. And it's like, okay, I'll go watch David Lynch now.
You know what I could see again, dude? Midsommar.
Or I'll go watch Nicholas Winding Refn and shit, dude.
I don't even know what the fuck. You know, the funny thing is
I
was thinking about this earlier, and I was like, you know, Rhett drops all these fucking director names, and I was like, He didn't know who Lucio Fulci was. I bet if I was don't. Like Fred Vogel or Stephen Biro, like, do you know those names? He'd be like, no, dude. And it's like, it's totally different things. Like, you have these directors. I have these other directors that I like.
It's like music.
Bro, do you even
fucking is. No, this is one of the things
I'm... Wes Anderson, dude?
Actually, I do. I think Wes Anderson's a fucking genius.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, I think Wes Anderson is pretty...
Whoa!
I didn't get his movies at first, but once I did, I'm like, oh...
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Brilliant.
Wasn't that good? See, he's the one that
did Life Aquatic, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, all those movies. All those fucking dry, kind of...
Well, you remember when Rushmore came out.
Thought-provoking.
Yeah. That was a big deal in high school.
Which movie?
Rushmore.
Okay.
And that one predated the whole indie feel thing of the OOs by fucking a good few years.
Yeah.
It announced the fucking indie thing of the early aughts right there. Anyway.
I was like, what do you mean OOs?
You're right, though. I mean, as far as being like a horror aficionado, like that's something that's happening slowly for me. Like I haven't seen a Fulci movie.
Yeah. We got to change that. The 70s and the 80s, dude, I'm still like, I don't really know.
To be fair, there's a lot of shit from the 70s and 80s. That fucking Fishmen movie, though, like that one, I'm like, yo, this is fucking legit, dude. This movie is badass.
I will say this. I think that Loose, being a 70-minute film, I think that everybody should make time to watch the movie.
It's so easy.
It's so short. It's an easy watch. I am not of the opinion that you need to watch it more than once. If you feel like you fucking got it, then you fucking got it.
See, the wonderful folks at EGPR sent this to us, and I'm going to ask them if they have this shit on DVD or Blu-ray. And if not, I'm going to try and buy it when it comes out. Because
I
really liked it, and I feel like this is one of those movies that you can pull out of your collection every now and again, and people will be like, oh,
I will say this,
and,
too, like, go, like 40 seconds in, I go, dude, I really want to love this. I really do, because it's like, it's framed in a very, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, do that
way. And I go, want oh, to. please let me love this. And,
oh, and then it showed, remember the title card, how it's like animated and it's red and it's moving. I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Well,
and
dude, in that, like, oh, that opening shot where it's just like, bitch. Basically just like
all style.
Ambient noise. All and then she walks in and she just fucking like her shoulders are slumped. She gets that soda and she pounds almost the whole thing. Like something seems wrong with her from the jump. Like, she doesn't, I mean, granted, she just got in a car wreck, she jumped out of a moving cab, you know, but like she walks into this police station and she doesn't seem alarmed, she doesn't seem like...
I also will say this, I want whatever drink they were having.
Which drink? Yeah. Oh yeah, I think that was I'm pretty sure that was absinthe with blue curacao.
Do you want whatever they're sniffing? That was she sniffing at the bar?
It's cocaína, George.
It's cocaine.
See, that was I've never done coke. Like, do you put coke?
You've never done coke?
No. Do you put coke in your drinks? Like, is that a thing?
You can.
If you're really not drinking, you should probably go try coke.
I don't want to do coke.
Well, like, look, man, I've never done coke
I don't for the exact coke. Reason that I have to quit drinking, because I have like a super addictive personality. If I do coke one time, I will do coke all the time.
If you got the money for it, fuck yeah, dude.
I don't have the money for it. That's the problem.
I'm sorry, I'm a bad fucker. Yeah.
Nah, dude, I'm telling you.
As far as drugs go, it's a pretty nice one. It just goes away quick and it's expensive.
Motherfuckers don't understand what it means to be self-aware. I'm very self-aware. I'm very... aware of who I am, what I am, and what I'm about.
Hey, look, I'm aware I'm retarded.
If I do coke one time, I don't fucking deny that shit.
Did coke
if
once.
I do coke one time, it's like, guess what? Guess who's a cokehead now?
That's this right. Guy.
That's right.
Yeah, bloated coke face.
Who doesn't have a
what
nasal passage anymore?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking
this
about?
This guy. Yeah, you know what you're talking about. Damn, dude.
That was a callback. That's an inside joke callback. Yikes.
All right, fuckers, that's it for episode 222.
Loose.
What?
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
What's the links, dude? Most important link, of course, as always, is patreon.com/whogoesthere.
Is the link between my legs, dude.
Doug, why you ask me these things and you just fucking interrupt me? You know there's a whole
We're
spiel.
We're going to do the interrupting thing?
You know there's a whole spiel that goes with this. We're going to do the interrupting thing?
Go ahead, dude.
Anyway.
I was pissed off.
The most important.
I was all pissy on
That's because we were talking about Midsommar. If we were talking about anything else, you'd be fine.
I'm so pissy.
Most important link is patreon.com/whogoesthere podcast, because that helps us continue doing this show. Also, make sure to like, share, subscribe, all that shit on social media. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch are at Who Goes There Podcast. Twitter and Letterboxd are at Who Goes There Pod.
Too many links.
Don't forget to go to TellurideHorrorShow.com that we are sponsoring for the second year in a row.
Second time.
Festival passes are on sale now, and book your hotels soon because those shits fill up and it gets more and more expensive. Hans Gretchen will be there from Patreon. King Sam will be there from Patreon. Mitch Snyder and Jacob Seaver will be there from Patreon.
Jacob Seaver said that it's his favorite town. This is
the
ever.
Weekend I look forward to every year. This is like the one thing of the year that I am specifically looking forward to all year.
Wow.
I make sure that regardless of what I do for the rest of the year, I have money for this. And I'm pretty sure we're driving out there, so... If you fuckers are coming, we got seats for you.
All right, losers. We'll catch you next week when we talk about...
Next week is... What the fuck is next week?
Who knows, dude?
Scary Stories is coming out soon, but I think that's in August. We have something on the calendar, I think.
You'll see.
Bye.
We'll let you know.
Fucks.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.